morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know from our hearts to yours that we are glad that you're here. And any time that you're able to come out to worship with us, in spirit and in truth, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, it's good to be home. I missed you guys very, very much. But I want you to know, to remember, to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Stayed on the cross. What that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is loving one another as Christ has commanded us to. Having a zeal and a desire for God's word, a thirst for knowledge to know what God has to say on the matter. And yes, being busy for our Lord, working in his kingdom, doing everything that we can to expand his kingdom and tell everybody about Jesus. And then appreciating the grace that is extended to us each and every day. And no matter what, through the ups and downs, through the wins and the losses, remember that Jesus loves you, and so do I. And there's nothing you can do about that. I'd like to thank our young brother for reading that passage for us this morning. It's such a blessing to be a part of a local work where godly men are ready and capable and willing to serve in any capacity when it comes to the Lord. I also would like to thank James for an excellent message on last Sunday. It was a wonderful message. I appreciate that, brother, and everybody who stepped up. Now, of course, it's not the first Sunday of the month. That was last Sunday. But we will get back on track with another lesson from our 2023 theme, Grace. And throughout this series, I will continue to reiterate Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, that says that the grace that we have has been extended to all men. I want us to be mindful that Jesus died for all and not just a few. This grace has been extended to all men. I think it's been said that grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Peter explained God's impartiality in this regard when he spoke in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 35, when he was in the household of Cornelius. He most certainly understands now that God is not the one to show partiality, but in every nation that any man that fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. So far in this series, we have asked some questions. And the first one is from the slogan, "Got milk, got grace." The second one is adoption through grace. And then we covered transformed by grace. And so this morning, just for a little while, I want to speak to you all from the perspective of grace under fire. Grace under fire. Now, when I say grace under fire, let me be clear that God's grace is what it is. All right? It is a free gift to all by itself, and it was our Savior's to give. We all understand that we don't deserve it. We all understand that we can't repay it. We can't add anything to it to make it sweeter. But there are three things, saints, that we can do with this grace. The first one is we can ignore God's grace altogether. Secondly, we can toy with God's grace by living under the secret blanket of sin. As my mom used to tell me, God sees everything you do. You can hide it from me, but you cannot hide it from God. Or three, we can accept God's grace by being totally committed to God's word, right? Being totally committed to what he has told us to do, therefore growing in grace. Beloved, we know that we live in a world, there's nothing new that I'm about to say. We are saturated in sin. It is everywhere in everything. It is up front and center, and it shows up when you're not even looking for it. things that we once were shameful to see or be around or be a part of has now become a way of life. We have become so desensitized that the sin landscape has now become our normality. Listen, friends, don't become numb. Beloved, don't ignore it because we ourselves will become complacent. And we cannot forget that sin, saints, is a security risk. It is a risk to the gift of grace that has been given to us so that we can accomplish sanctification in our lives. That is the purpose. So you might ask yourself, well, what is sanctification? Well, it's being holy. It's being set apart by God and His grace. And because of God's grace is such a vital concept, it is not surprising that the enemy of our souls is working overtime to subvert God's grace by spreading error and confusion. If you have your Bibles with you or electronic devices, and hopefully you are still there in Romans chapter 6, we will begin at verse 1 in Romans chapter 6. And the infallible word of God says this: what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that God's grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We're baptized into his death. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into his death, in order that Jesus, as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we have also lived with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. Paul seems to be saying that we still have a daily choice to make, saints. We have been freed from the penalty of sin. We are forgiven. We have also been freed from the authority and the power of sin. And sometimes the truth that our eternity is secured by faith can mislead people and think that they can behave and act any kind of way and it doesn't matter. Paul answers, though, this rhetorical question by saying that absolutely not can we do this. Because he says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Another way to say it is, may it never be. But Paul is literally saying that it cannot be that one who is justified by faith would live ungodly. So this union with Christ is not simply experienced with his death alone, but also with his life. And that's an important factor. See, Christ died for my sins, but by faith in him, I, the old self, die too. Then, when Christ rose from the grave with life, so too, when I believe with faith, rose with him in a newness of life. So that means that the old way of thinking, the old way of talking, the old way of operating, the old way of sifting through this life in a Christian-like mindset is now the focal point. For if you've been united with him in the likeness of his death, you will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You think, I believe a lot of times when we go through things, we focus and put more stock in the problem than we do God, who is the solution. I want you to really think about it. What are we doing this for? If you absolutely believe in a God, right, that you cannot see, that you believe with all of your heart, sent his son to die on the cross, done all these wonderful and magnificent things, why don't we act that way? At the end of the day, I'm telling you like this, because I'm sure you've heard this, don't put all your eggs in one basket. All of my eggs are in the basket of God. I've put everything, all my stock, all my hope, all my faith, all my love, all my passion is in God. And if that is the case, why don't we act this way? Why don't we have the faith? Because, I mean, think about it, right? We believe in everything else. We will give everything else a chance. We'll hear it out at least once. I'll give it a shot. I'll try it. Hey, listen, there's some bugs right here. We put in some chocolate. You want to give it a shot? Sure, I'll try it. Here's God who died, who sent his son to die for you so that you could have eternal life. And I'm saying give God a try. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Because it causes a different type of pressure. It causes some accountability that a lot of people don't want. And Paul is trying to tell us that we, if we have died to our old self, right? Because of faith, because of grace, we now have an opportunity of everlasting life. You know, to die to something means to have its life taken, right? So when by faith we die to sin, we are freed from its power and the penalty of it. So Christians, right, cannot and should not have a mindset to live a life in which they die to. Now, when you think about that, you have said that I will now love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul. I will give him everything. And yet, you've died to your old self, but you want to live in that death? All right, I'll tell you this way. So someone you love passes away. Put them in a casket and then you put them in the ground. How many of you are getting next to them to go down in the ground? You're not, right? You're putting them in the ground. They're dead. They're passed away. When you die to your sins, you are burying them in the ground. And you are now parting from that life. So many of us want to hold on to the old things of this life. We have to let go. So what ends up happening is we put grace under fire when we shrink back into our old sinful ways. All right? So sin is all around us. Yes, pressure comes. Yes, there are hard times. But I want you to understand something. That we are being refined, right, in the fire, right, of this life. And with each victory, saints, we're being strengthened. So very quickly this morning, I want to point out three things, very quickly, three things that I think being under pressure reveals about us. All right? So the first one, pressure will reveal the depth of our character. Pressure will reveal the depth of our character. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The word trouble means to be pressed upon. So it's a picture, right, of pressing grapes or olives, right, for the valuable juices, right, that are held within the hull. So it's like squeezing a sponge, right, so tightly, right? And pressure, if you think about it, does not make a man as much as pressure will expose the substance that's really inside the man. Pressure will reveal a lot of things. Gideon may have felt the disadvantage and inadequacy, but pressure would reveal him as a mighty man of valor. But then on the flip side, King Saul might have stood taller than any in Israel, but that pressure will reveal his dwarf heart. And how? I'll tell you this. Have you ever wondered how fish are able to cope in the ocean depths? Have you ever thought about that? I'm talking about down, down, down deep in the depths. If we go down in the depths, we'd be crushed. right? Your lungs will collapse. If you feel water, you'll be crushed. There's so much pressure. Well, I figured this out. So I went in and I asked Siri. I did. And Siri says, fish survive under water pressure because they do not breathe through lungs. Now, you do have some that are closer to the shore, that are closer to the surface, and they have what they call a swim bladder, okay? And the swim bladder is an organ with air in it. That's basically what it is. So there are fish that cannot go to the deep depths and survive because they have this air bladder, right? So there are other fish that do not have air pockets that can be compressed due to high pressures. So what it basically says is they've discovered how there are chemical cells of the marine organism that enables them to survive the high pressures found in the deep ocean. So many sea creatures are made of mostly water. All right, hear this. They're made of mostly water. So water cannot be compressed or squeezed by pressure like air can. All right. So they balance with the pressure that's around them. They balance with the pressure that is around them. What am I simply saying? Well, you remember that little sign on the back that got a fish on it? That everybody, was the fish sign? It got a brand new meaning for you today. The fish sign for you today is that I'm able to withstand the pressure, right? Because I now balance myself with the amount of pressure that comes with it. So here's the thing. They are able to function because of an internal counter pressure that is equal to the external pressure. So if you are putting the word of God inside of here, when the outside pressure comes, you are already ready and able to withstand all the pressures that come because you now have a counter pressure, which is the word of God, a relationship with God, a prayer life with God. I read the word of God. So now I am able to withstand the pressures and do exactly what God has told me and not put the grace that's been extended to me under fire. Perhaps this is what the psalmist had in mind when he wrote Psalms 119 and 11. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Is the word of God truly written on the tablet of your heart so that when the pressure comes, I don't fold, I don't rely on anything else but the will and the word of God? It sounds really easy, right? I'm going to fully rely on the word of God. I'm fully going to trust him with everything. I have been asking myself this question. Do I really have a choice? Do you really have a choice? Most people say, well, yeah. But it all says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Do you have a choice? I always say I'd rather volunteer than be voluntold. Because either way, you're going to go somewhere. But the choice is yours. Don't put grace on the fire. The grace that's been extended to you to become sanctified, holy, living like Christ did. It's been extended to you today. But we put it on the fire when we go back. I think a life ungirded by the truth is a life reinforced to withstand collapse under any degree of pressure. I think when the damaged pressure threatens to do what it is to us, I think we ought to lean on the word of God. Because pressure not only will reveal the depth of your character, but pressure will reveal the direction of your course. I want you to think about this. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 5, Paul stood to preach to an opposing Jewish crowd in Corinth because he was pressed in the spirit. The word press carries the ideal of something held together by pressing all sides to accomplish a desired result. So it's a picture of cattle being pressed into a cattle squeeze so medicine can be administered. Paul knew what to do and when to do it because of the pressure applied upon his soul. Joseph chose his course in dealing with his sinful encounter, right? Over in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here's something that I love about this. Some of us don't have a problem, right? Sinning against other people. But you will sin against God. So here's the thing. I'm a good person. I don't do nothing to people. I love people. I don't have a problem with people. I'm the best person in the world. I'll do anything for a person, but you will sin against God. Help me out. I have more concern about your feelings than the wrath of my Creator. I care more about a relationship with you than a relationship with my Creator. The Creator of all things. I care more about people. Here's where it gets. He says, how can I do this great wickedness against God? He didn't say, how can I do this great wickedness against Potiphar? I don't want to hurt Potiphar. No, I don't want to hurt God. That's the standard. Not Potiphar or anybody else that you hold on a pedestal. It's God. And when you sin, you are sinning against God, not people. You are transgressing against his law. What he has said on the matter. So, my young people, I want to talk to you real quick. Many of you all, you get older, you all, and I'm telling you, my young people, y'all looking good. Y'all growing up, you're going off to college, you're getting married, you're having babies. I remember when I came and when I first got here, which wasn't long ago, but it's like they grew up just like that. They were all in high school, now they're all in college. They were just dating, now they're married with kids. Right? But I want to encourage my young people. Many of you all will go off to college and you may feel the pressure of the crowd. You may feel that pressure to blend in and accept the things that are being taught and what is being accepted today. But you're going to feel that pressure because you're different. And the reason why you're different because you should stand out as a child of God. You shouldn't look like the rest of them. You shouldn't be acting like the rest of them. And I'm telling you, and I'm encouraging you, don't give in and don't give up. Many of the people you meet in the school will only be in your life for a short period of time versus the eternity that you have to face. When you think about it, I'm kicking it for 4 years. I got friends for 4 years. Do you know the moment that I said that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the head of my life and I will start conducting myself as such, they all fell away. They all fell away. It doesn't matter how great the pressure is. What really matters is where the pressure lies. Whether it comes between me and God or whether it presses me nearer to his heart. God press moments are never anything more than grace under fire. When you think about that. So here's what I want to say to my young people. Don't trade your eternity for mortal satisfaction. Don't say, here's $1,000 that I have and you give me a penny. What does it profit a man or a woman to gain the world but lose his or her soul? Because I love him. He's so sweet. He's so special. They're my friends, man. They're my partners. I want to hang out. You're not going to church. Why are when you're going away to school? You're not talking about God like you're supposed to. You're not praying. Half folk don't even know that you're a Christian. And why is that? Why backtrack? Why put grace under fire? That's been extended to you. You have an opportunity to change your course and direction. If you are around people that moves you away from God, then you know you off course. If the people you hang around aren't drawing you closer to God and you not pulling them closer to God, then you off course. Last but not least, pressure will reveal the decisiveness of your commitment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, Paul says again, "For when we were coming into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, and those who were cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And now by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewithin he was comforting in you. When he told us your honest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." Paul knew when pressure was rushing in at every port. He knew that. I believe that a man will either die in his faith or he will die for his faith. Where do you lie? Are you dying for your faith, or are you dying in your faith? I think those who excel under pressure are those minds that are already made up. I want you to think about it just for a second. The people who excel under pressure excel because their minds are already made up. You know, when Job was pressured sorely by his circumstances to desert God, it was noted, still he holdeth fast his integrity. When Daniel was pressured to be disloyal to his God, it was noticed, innocency was found in me. When Jesus felt the crushing pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Nevertheless, your will, but not my will." See, a decisive heart is one that has burned the bridges of retreat. They have burnt. See, when you are truly committed, you have burned the bridges of retreat. You cannot back off, and you're not retracting or going backwards. So I walk across this bridge. The old me is gone. That bridge is burned. So even if I turn around and say, "Well, there are some memories, I can't go back." We have to burn those bridges. I heard a sermon one time called "Stop the Tape." You know, a lot of times we like to go back down memory lane, and for some of us, that's not good. A decisive heart is one that's burned the bridges of retreat. It cannot go back. It will not back down. And I think I've heard it said, it's how you show up at the showdown that counts. Because the showdown is going to happen. You're going to have a powwow with the devil. And are you going to show down? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ." When pressure arose, Paul remained focused on his Christ-likeness. I think a heart fixed on such an outcome will never miss the bull's eye. Like when I say focus on the cross, that's what I mean. You know, if you ever saw a person like a marksman, people that do the bow and arrows, right, the archery, what's the goal? Is it to hit the target or hit it right there in the middle? What's the goal? We're just hitting targets, or we're trying to get the bullseye? What are we doing? Are you here just playing the game, or are you trying to win? We keep our eyes focused on the cross because that's the destination. That's the destination for us all, to continue to die to our old selves, to die to our flesh. But it's also a representation that we can get to heaven. The grace of God is under fire from both sides. It's from the outside and the inside. Scoffers have increased in the last days. We see all kinds of stuff on platforms. They're pressing this homosexuality in every single way. I'm so tired. I can't watch anything without them some way, somehow, putting it in there. They're going to squeeze it in there some way, somehow. I call myself, hey, I'm going to go watch Shazam. I think Shazam kind of cool, right? And come to find out one of the brothers is a homosexual. They threw it in right at the end, too. I mean, it was real quick, but they threw it in there. And I was like, D, why? Why? Because that's the agenda. I told you, everybody else coming out of the closet and we going in. You heard what I said. Everybody else coming out the closet. This is what I am. The groups of them, the theys, the we's, the plurals. They all coming out. And we stand for the truth and we're going in the closet. We got to take control of our lives. But we must renew our minds, pray without ceasing, and live a life of submission. It's that simple. It's that simple. So if you're here this morning and you've been putting grace under fire, you have not truly embraced the fact that God says you have another chance to get this right. You got another opportunity to change your direction. You can do that this morning. If you have not been baptized, you have an opportunity to put Christ on, dying to your old self, living for him, being renewed in your mind and your thinking. And if you are a Christian, and you've been struggling, you've been battling, you haven't been 100%, you have not been focusing on the cross, you have an opportunity to change that this morning. So if you're here and you are desiring to be either reconnected or connected, or just need the prayers of the church, you just may just need a little bit of push, you can make all of these things known. This is the day to do so. Not because it's Easter. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Not the holiday. I want you to truly think about this and focus. Focus on your eternal destination this morning. So if you're here this morning and you are desiring the prayers of the church, or you want to put Christ on in baptism, you can do so now as together we stand and sing.